Information technology leaders in both the government and private sector recognize that the numbers and potency of cybersecurity threats are both accelerating. 76% of respondents surveyed by the Aspen Institute and Intel Security said they believe a national defense force should respond to cyber attacks that damage critical infrastructure. Steve Grobman is the chief technology officer for Intel Security. He told me what else that survey found.
We surveyed a broad range of critical infrastructure providers from a wide range of fields, everything from communications to energy. And what we really wanted to know is what they thought about their current state of protection for cybersecurity and also where things were headed in the future. And we found some interesting results.
Well, one of the interesting results to me was respondents believe their own vulnerability to cyber attacks has decreased over the last 3 years, only 27% feeling extremely vulnerable. What are they smoking?
So, you know, I think what they're seeing is I think that they understand that they've been investing and they've actually taken the cybersecurity threat seriously over the last few years. So I think part of that confidence is actually due to the investments that they've made. The interesting thing is that although they have a confidence in their own cyber defense, they actually do recognize that the likelihood of a major incident or event happening is likely. So it's an interesting dichotomy where on one hand, they're feeling confident about their own environment, but they are being intellectually honest to understand that a serious event actually could happen.
And these are providers, as you said, of critical infrastructure. And so does that mean that maybe that part of the economy is a little bit ahead of retail and medical care providers and so forth, where there have been all these famous hacks in recent months?
I think definitely it's one of the areas that there's tremendous clarity on the importance of a strong cyber defense. If we think about the implications of attacking critical infrastructure, being able to even include things such as loss of life or very detrimental impact, you know, much more so than even the data breaches that we've seen, they really understand the need for a strong cyber defense, whereas what we see in many of the other segments is a very high dynamic range of level of investment and expertise. So if you take a segment such as retail, which is pretty far from critical infrastructure, you'll see some of the big players really having a wake-up call from the 2014 mega breaches that we saw and putting very significant investment into their cyber defense, while other players are still operating as they did 10 years ago. Whereas in this space, everybody in the energy and other critical infrastructure spaces really understands the importance.
And you said that they made significant investments, which gives them some confidence. What is the nature of the investments? What are they buying with their dollars?
So they're buying a wide range of solutions, and it's actually part of the problem that we have in the security industry is it's very fragmented, and the typical deployment that's required to secure an environment of any complexity requires many different products and solutions. And the end user, the IT department or the security operations group, is highly challenged in dealing with that complexity. It's one of the reasons we're very focused on getting the industry to work better together, both from a how do we share various types of data, things like threat data, both between companies and with the government, but even at a technology level, having different products, being able to communicate and work together. We know that the complexity of the environment that is required to secure these critical infrastructure spaces is highly complex. And it's actually one of our goals is to simplify that, to make it easier and more manageable so they can spend their time on the incidents that have the highest impact and have the highest probability that it is a targeted attack or major breach versus all of the background noise that typically happens just from a standard security operations eventing basis.
And confident though they might be, they still are saying that they believe that the number of disruptions is on the rise.
That's right. So, you know, they see the disruptions I think they're confident in what they have, but they also understand that the underlying weak points is a combination of technology, but also a human element. You know, one of the interesting things that the report called out is that human issues, the ability to have human operators make mistakes or take incorrect actions, is one of the biggest challenges that they face. And this is actually consistent with what we're seeing in many, many industries and environments, is that the cyber threats typically use a combination of human interaction along with technical vulnerabilities. So a typical example would be an adversary that is crafting an advanced or targeted attack would identify, either through social media or other forms of research, the right individuals in an organization who have what we call privileged access, the ability to do things within the environment. And then by targeting those individuals, often by what we call spear phishing, meaning that you convince the individual that they should trust you, and that can be through identifying information through social media or even data that could have been compromised from some of these other breaches, and then using that as a starting point to infiltrate the environment and then launch a much more complex attack.
We're speaking with Steve Grobman. He is the Chief Technology Officer at Intel Security. And getting to the government side of this, it found most of the respondents believe a national defense force ought to respond to critical infrastructure attacks, and yet they're a little bit skeptical that they want the government to share business with them. There seems to be kind of two strains of thought with respect to the federal government here from the critical infrastructure.
That's right. I mean, when we think about the way that the private critical infrastructure sector needs to operate with government, it's a complex relationship. There are some areas that there's universal support for, things like being able to share intelligence data. So, you know, one of the things that we called out in the report is 86% see a need for public-private threat intelligence sharing partnerships, really to keep pace with the escalating security threats. But the flip side is there's also a desire for government to, you know, not run the cyber operations that is actually protecting the infrastructure. So having government being able to partner with the private industry in this space, also be able to help in a incident response nature, but not actually be involved in the day-to-day operations or have an overbearing presence in regulating or defining what is needed for the environment. And it's actually an interesting point that one of the challenges that we see with government on the definition of what critical infrastructure providers and other segments need to do is cybersecurity threats change so fast that what a critical infrastructure provider needs to do in order to have a secure environment is going to change very rapidly. They need to be highly agile, and using very specific government regulation in order to make that happen just doesn't work. What we really need is government policy to provide guidelines and objectives, but have enough flexibility such that it can adapt to the rapidly changing needs and what the techniques of the cyber actors are.
And when cyber experts and the government often talk about critical infrastructure attacks, they often paint lurid pictures of what could happen, of fires and destruction of property. What do the critical infrastructure operators themselves worry about? Physical destruction through a cyber attack, or the same things everybody else worries, loss of data, financial information, that kind of thing?
Unfortunately, if you're in the critical infrastructure space, you have to worry about all of the above. So if you think about a critical infrastructure provider, they have all of the baseline security challenges that any other large enterprise would have. But on top of that, they have the unique challenge of requiring the risk of a cyber attack moving from the cyber world into the physical world. So as we have more and more smart connected devices, become part of their overall connected infrastructure, the ability to move from a digital attack to a physical attack becomes very real. So absolutely, the threats around loss of life, the things that you mentioned where you're actually able to cause physical damage to platforms is a very real concern. And physical damage could be anything from using a cyber attack to incorrectly use a piece of equipment. You can think of anything from opening valves or physically destroying mechanical devices by sending improper commands, to simply performing what we call a permanent denial of service. And essentially what a permanent denial of service is it's attacking a device in such a way that the device is permanently damaged and can no longer be operable and requires essentially a replacement of the device in order to become operational again. So if you think about things like energy, performing a permanent denial of service on key elements of the critical infrastructure could be detrimental because you'd have to physically deploy new equipment to the field in order to get back up and running.